Welcome to Letter from the Capitol, a weekly podcast covering national security, economic, and cultural issues.
Greetings. I'm John Wallstetter, your host. Welcome to my Letter from the Capitol podcast. Today we will discuss Flight MH17, Russia's Waterloo or Ours. Contrast U.S.-UN Ambassador Samantha Power's forceful condemnation with President Obama's diffident performance, and compare both to President Reagan's September 5, 1983 address after the September 1, 1983 Soviet shoot-down of KAL-007. The Gipper condemned the shoot-down as an act of barbarism and demanded, not like Obama merely request, that the Soviets fess up and make restitution to the families of the passengers. They didn't, but Reagan's forceful performance and the bravura show by U.S.-UN Ambassador Jean Kirkpatrick at the U.N. Security Council that proved Moscow was lying exacted a political price. The history of airliner shootdowns by jet or missile dates back 60 years to 1954. GOP Senator Kelly Ayotte called upon the administration to shame Europeans into imposing sanctions. Alas, diffident presidents have no exhortation currency to spend. What President Obama should, but alas won't, do? One option, send military aid to Kiev. The new president has so effectively rallied Ukraine's hitherto hapless military that even without any decent equipment, it has fought the separatists to a standstill. Better weaponry would enable creeping retake of much of eastern Ukraine. A second option would be strong economic sanctions rather than the weak ones now afoot. But Obama, I think, lacks political capital in Europe to get France, Germany, and Italy to go along despite energy dependency that Europe foolishly accepted for cheaper electricity. A third option, now overtaken by events, is that within hours of the shootdown, upon verification that a Russian surface-to-air missile, not operable without Russian help, had downed the airliner, the U.S. and NATO should have had Kiev invite a militarily escorted international crash team into eastern Ukraine. Legally, all of Ukraine, including Crimea, is under Kiev's jurisdiction. We should have publicly warned the separatists not to interfere and privately warned Moscow not to do so. Moscow would not likely have taken the risk associated with a vigorous, globally supported response to mass murder, especially as the shoot-down was an apparent mistake that Moscow could have diplomatically disavowed. Meekly honoring, even for a day or two, separatist interference impliedly diminishes the sovereignty of Kiev over all of Ukraine. While an argument can be made that further investigation is superfluous, we already know what happened. The symbolic value of reasserting Kiev's sovereignty over eastern Ukraine should not have been underestimated. A fourth set of options would be to take steps outside of the context of Ukraine. First, send a meaningful deployment of troops to the Baltic states, at least to the two Estonia and Latvia who border Russia. Better still, to send more troops as well to Poland and the Czech Republic and revive all missile defense options. Second, approve the Keystone XL pipeline with Canada and accelerate domestic fracking of natural gas, which has, thanks to permits issued under President George W. Bush, already added domestic capacity equal to Iraq's 3 million barrels per day oil output. This should be coupled with a commitment to Europe to give that area primacy as U.S. production capacity increases, and also by selling that portion of Europe dependent upon Moscow oil from our strategic petroleum reserve to help in extreme winter or summer conditions. Third, adopt Sarah Palin's drill baby drill policy, Ray offshore oil. Fourth, reverse decline in U.S. defense spending, which might get Europe to do a little more too, something that won't happen if we cut back. Other than tepid economic sanctions, nothing of the above will come to pass so long as Obama is president. This will increase the chance that Putin will do a Sudetenland sojourn of the kind that Hitler did in Czechoslovakia in 1939 in the two bordering Baltics before Obama leaves office. Some Russian lawmakers want Moscow to pull out of the New START treaty. That was a badly flawed agreement which necessitated America making strategic force cuts while Moscow, already below treaty limits due to economic constraints, is allowed to add more to its strategic nuclear arsenal, which it is doing with alacrity. We should pray this comes to pass. Oh, there may be one more silver lining in an otherwise dark cloud. Vlad the Bad threatens to scuttle an Iran nuclear deal, the deadline for which has just been postponed 4 months to November 20th. As any deal will be a bad one, used by Iran to continue its nuclear weapons program, this is one time we should hope Vlad means what he says. Bottom line, once again, Team Obama misses a huge strategic opportunity to put Moscow on the defensive. Instead, it pursues mindlessly its demonstrably failed reset fantasy policy. Absent strong leadership by America, Vlad the Bad will get away with, this time literally, mass murder. And then he will look for other opportunities. For a letter from the Capitol, this is John Wallstetter. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute. Letter from the Capitol is a trademark and copyright of John Wallstetter. Rebroadcasts of this podcast are allowed only with permission of the Discovery Institute. For more information, please visit www.letterfromthecapitol.com or www.discovery.org.